Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK with Sean Carey. Steve on his way into the Sunbury Motors studio in a few. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Of course, not only can you listen to our show live, we always archive them after the live broadcast and create a Steve Jones Show podcast available on our website, stevejonesshow.com. Also, the podcast available on the Apple Podcast app, iTunes, and Google Play. So we encourage you to subscribe today. If you listen to us on both iTunes or the Apple Podcast app, don't hesitate to leave us a review. And you can also drop us a line anytime. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at stevejonespsu. It was right about this time yesterday afternoon, the big story breaking in college football with the resignation of Oklahoma head football coach Bob Stoops. So we'll have some college football conversation here in the next few shows, including tomorrow. Ben Kershaval, CBSSports.com college football writer, will be joining us tomorrow afternoon. Of course, we're a little over 48 hours away from the Belmont Stakes in New York. And if you didn't get a chance to hear Lafine Pinkai, NBC Sports horse racing reporter on Tuesday's show, we've got that available on our podcast, Tuesday's episode. But, of course, Steve's longtime broadcast partner, Dick Girardi, will be joining us tomorrow.
Any reaction, by the way, internally to yesterday's blockbuster interview about the Olympics?
Very quiet. Very quiet. I didn't.
Subdued?
Yes. Did not press the issue when I had the opportunity to bring it up in person to Kev this morning.
By the way, I was able to get over to Dollar General.
Oh, good.
I was able to. I took care of your gift for the suit light as well.
Appreciate that more than I can tell.
Oh, well, believe me. Yes. It's amazing how if you buy a pail and then you have a shovel to go with it. Now you feel like you've killed two birds with one stone.
Thankfully, your daughter's bridal registry is more Bed Bath & Beyond and Macy's and a little more...
a little more traditional.
Yes.
Where did you register? Dollar Tree. Okay. Fabulous. Let's go over and get that ribeye. All right. No. Not going to happen. Penn State will play North Carolina State in the ACC Challenge game. That could be a running gunner down at Raleigh. Now, we don't have a date or a time. We just know the time frame. It's that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday after Thanksgiving. I think what the Big Ten, now the ACC obviously has to figure into this, but the Big Ten wants to play its opening weekend, the next weekend, and the days and times that you play those games are contingent, I believe, as to when you play your ACC game. So that's why I got to wait a little bit on that one. I would not doubt that that when they release the Big Ten schedule, they release the ACC game as part of it, too. Because that's all going to have to come together as part of the puzzle. NC State, Mark Godfrey got fired. Kevin Keats, Rick Pitino, disciples, now the head coach. They're down to 10 players at the moment. You'll notice Dennis Smith will be probably slotted 5 through 7, 5 through 8 in the NBA draft. He was a one-and-done player at NC State. And this probably brought Mark Godfrey down a tough road in terms of keeping his job. Because when you get a one-and-done player like that, there are expectations. And they ended up 15-17 last year. And which obviously, when you've got some talent and expectations are not met, it brings with it greater disappointment. So they made the move, and you know, and Keats had a great run at UNC Wilmington. He was there 3 years. He was able to get to the NCAA tournament twice. He, you know, he is a running gunner. Oh, I just saw our play-by-play call of the day. Dave Sims, Dave got in touch with me the other day. Dave's one of the great, great guys.
Very appropriate. Had a very exciting call last night.
Oh, it was absolutely great announcers, great guys out there. Really like Dave. Last time I saw Dave was, was Madison Square Garden. I talked to Dave in the garden back in December. Just, I think the world of him. So, great guy. Always was thrilled. I was really thrilled he got the Mariners thing. I thought that was that worked out great for him. The Warriors last night. Remember I talked, or it was a week ago, about how the NBA is built on groups of three? Well, after watching Kevin Durant in this series, you got to wonder if they're now being built on groups of four. When you have to play as much one-on-one basketball as LeBron James and Kyrie Irving had to play last night, because LeBron James was great last night, Kyrie Irving was great last night, but when you have to play as much one-on-one, take it to the bucket the way they did last night, it takes a lot out of you. And I thought the last 2.5, 3 minutes, I think Cleveland was tired. I thought they were tired. Meanwhile, Durant looked fresh. Thompson looked fresh. Curry looked fresh.
Yeah, Curry was on the bench for a very long stretch in the second quarter.
Yeah.
And I guess the early part of the game, I was floored to see the stat that Cleveland had. They were shooting 57%. But, oh, yeah, what happened? And Golden State had an NBA record with three-point shots
right.
in the first quarter.
Exactly. And that's...
And they're thinking, what do we have to do to hang with these guys? And Golden State almost was... They were a whisker away from having 70 at halftime.
Yeah, but that's what bothered me last night. Is I'm watching the halftime interview. Did you watch that?
Oh, I wanted to see it with the commissioner, but I had to step out. I had to take out the trash.
And there's nothing wrong with the appropriateness of the questions of asking about the super teams and is that good for the league and so forth. But he also has put out that thing about the draft. Well, Mike Breen even set it up. She didn't ask him about the draft. That was the one question I was interested in. I mean, this formation of super teams, it's a little too simplistic here. It's a nice topic to talk about. That's fine until you actually delve into how, for example, the Golden State Warriors are built. How were the Golden State Warriors built? They drafted Steph Curry. They drafted Klay Thompson. they drafted in the second round Draymond Green. Yep. You can see there's a lot of corruption there as to how they built. What, just because they're smarter than other people, they were able to put together a style that matched the talent they built? Now, the difference is they added in Durant as a free agent. That's the difference. And Durant was the difference in last night's game. He made all the big plays down the stretch last night. But Curry had a big night. They drafted him. Thompson had a big night. They drafted him. Green rebounded and was a great passer. They drafted him. What an awful thing for the league to have people draft well. But I wanted to hear about the draft. What are you going to do? Is it going to be 18-year-olds? Are you going to acquiesce and just say high school, you can go from high school straight in? Or do you want to go 2 years and 20? Which, you know, you're getting the impression he wants to go the 18-year-old route. That's perfectly fine with me if they do it. But for goodness sakes, ask him the question. Yeah, I don't. That's a major question. But I think what has helped Golden State over time. Now, remember, Durant was a one and done. And Durant was drafted by Seattle. And then, of course, after his time with 1 year, what was 1 year in Seattle, and then they moved to Oklahoma City. Then all that time with the Thunder, he becomes a free agent and he goes to Golden State. It made a huge difference in last night's game. There's the difference. But they added in a part to what they already drafted. But my problem with the NBA has always been this. There's so many elements of the NBA that are not mature. It's an immature league in some ways. And drafting first or having the first overall pick, that's a league where it doesn't matter. Age matters in that league. And LeBron James has made the playoffs every year in his career except the first two, when he was 18 and 19. They didn't have much of a team around him, but he made them competitive. Kyrie Irving was the first overall pick in the draft. Kyrie Irving was the first overall pick in the draft. And guess what? After the Cavaliers drafted him, when LeBron left, they went nowhere. And they had Bennett, made him the first overall pick in the draft. He was a bad pick. And then they had Wiggins, the first overall pick in the draft, and they dealt him to Minnesota before he ever played a game for Cleveland. They dealt him to Minnesota for Kevin Love. They wanted a more mature player. So now Minnesota has Karl-Anthony Towns, first overall pick in the draft, Andrew Wiggins, first overall pick in the draft, and how many playoff games have the Timberwolves played? Show of hands? That's right, zero. Anthony Davis, great, great player. First overall pick in the draft. The highest New Orleans ever been seeded, eighth. Eighth. And what's interesting is I talked to Tim Frazier of the Pelicans last week. And we talked about various things about Davis, about Boogie Cousins and so forth. But then I asked him about the length of the season. Now, let's get back to the youth part now, about the league being immature. When you play in college, you play approximately 30 to 38 games in the season, depending on the success of your team. So you're going to play, my apologies, 32 to 38 games in the season. Well, for Tim Frazier, he told me, and Tim Frazier is a well-conditioned athlete. the length of the season, when you go through it for the first couple of times, he says, in some ways stunned you. You play exhibition games, 10, maybe, and then you play an 82-game schedule. 82. He says you hit early January. So you're January 1st. He said in college you probably have played 13 games at that point, maybe 14 with a conference game. And that's about right. So in the NBA, he says, man, we're already on game 30. I'm sitting there like, holy mackerel. You know, like the number of games and the amount of road trips stuns you. Well, for a high school player, I mean, how many high school games are played by Shikellamy in a year? How many they play? Yeah, any guess, John, they play 20?
At least, for sure. Somewhere between 20 and 25.
Right.
Including, now, how far they get in the postseason.
Yeah, postseason, whatever, right? But now you're going to go to play 92? Really? Really? And a major problem for high school players, especially if they get themselves in the AAU circuit. Look, in the AAU circuit, look, that's where you get noticed. That's where people find you for recruiting. But the AAU circuit is not what is great for getting noticed and great for one-stop shopping. So let's not completely put it down here. But it just doesn't work for player development. If you're an NBA team, do you want to spend all your time on player development, or wouldn't you like to have some cable-ready talent where you plug the box into the back and all of a sudden the TV turns on? And that's Golden State. Draymond Green, 4 years, Michigan State. Klay Thompson, 4 years, Washington State. You know, Steph Curry played at least three, right? I think he played three at Davidson. I don't think he played a fourth. But they got older players. They got older players that then grew up. And they developed into this team. My problem, the 18-year-old thing, there's certain 18-year-olds. LeBron James, a perfect example. Kevin Garnett's a perfect example. Two guys that came into the league ready to play, and they should play. I'm completely for that. But like, sports is filled with mythology, for example. Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant was a bench player his first 2 years, and they weren't sure after 2 years he could play. They could see the potential in him, but it wasn't until his third year where his game finally blossomed in the league. I mean, he didn't average 10 points a game his first 2 years. And that's my biggest issue with the NBA. There are too many elements within the NBA where it's an immature league. They got the best talent. They have the best talent. Best basketball players in the world play in that league. There is no doubt about it. But there are also some elements of that league that are very immature. And it's really hard. I mean, maturity can only be solved with experience.
Shikellamy this past season, 24 games.
So you're going to go from 24 to 92, including the preseason. Do you know how many more games that is? I mean, I realize for the fans, 24 games with the Soup broadcast even comes out to 76. But, I mean, that's what? We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
For the month of June, the word is out about Sunbury Motors Kia. And the word is no.
We want to see you in Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
Yes. That's right, no. As in no interest, 0% financing for up to 66 months. And no payments till November on all 2017 Fortes, Souls, Optimas, and Serenos.
And SMC has them clearly sale priced on the window.
2017 Souls starting at $15,328. Fortes starting at $15,947. Optimas starting at $19,997. And 2017 Serenos starting at $23,894. And with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, you'll see why Sunbury Motors Kia is into no in a big way. No hassles, no pressure, no problem. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Golden Strip at Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotorskia.com and say yes before someone else gets your Kia.
Tax and tags extra, 0% financing, all qualified customers to KMF. Restrictions apply. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Who can say no to that?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. Time now for This Day in Sports History. And into the Wayback Machine that we go, Sherman. In 1934, the Reds became the first Major League team to use an airplane to travel from one city to another. They flew from Cincinnati to Chicago. In 1961, the Milwaukee Braves set a Major League record for four consecutive home runs in the seventh inning. In 1969... Mickey Mantle's number 7, retired by the New York Yankees. 1986, the Celtics won their 16th NBA championship. 2000, the Dallas Stars and the New Jersey Devils played the NHL's longest scoreless game in Stanley Cup Finals history. The fifth game of the series lasted 106 minutes and 21 seconds. The game ended with a goal by Mike Modano that allowed the Stars to play Game 6 back in Dallas. Let's see. The Detroit Red Wings Carolina Hurricanes 2002 began playing their third game of the Stanley Cup Finals. The game lasted until 14 minutes 47 seconds of the third overtime. It ended at 1 in the morning. Third longest Stanley Cup Finals game in NHL history. And in 2005, Alex Rodriguez became the youngest player to reach 400 career home runs in a 12-3 win over the Brewers. No need to ask what helped. That's This Day in Sports History. Yeah, that's a big stories, by the way. Bob Stoops retiring at Oklahoma. We're going to have more on that tomorrow. Is it tomorrow, Sean?
Yes, we are able to get in touch with Ken Kershaval, the college football writer from CBSSports.com, and he'll be with us right at this time tomorrow afternoon.
Then Dick Girardi, and then guess who?
Live in studio.
Yes. My brother will be here.
Awesome.
But Bob Stoops retiring. Lincoln Riley takes over as the head coach at Oklahoma. In the world of stats, here's a good one. Bill Snyder, legendary head coach at Kansas State, is 77. When Texas plays Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl, the combined ages of the two coaches will be 75. Tom Herman's 42, Lincoln Riley's 33. Okay, there you go. Youth is served. So that's one. There have been a lot of reports that Greg McDermott of Creighton was offered the Ohio State basketball job. And now, according to reports, he has said no. Again, this is the difficulty in, as I mentioned, in June. where you've got a lot of people settled into what they want to do for the coming year in the sport. Okay. Now, it should be pointed out that Eddie Fogler, who's one of the best in the business, at being, I mean, essentially a headhunter, consultant, is helping Ohio State with this job search. Penn State utilized him in 2011, as a matter of fact. He's a pro's pro, and he knows the profession, and he knows which doors to knock on. He knows which cell phones to call. There, you know, Sean Miller's name at Arizona has been brought up, but, I mean, he's got the number one team in the country potentially coming back. I mean, I don't know. Chris Mack and Xavier, his name is always going to be mentioned. Billy Donovan's name's been mentioned. Here's my favorite, Archie Miller. He just got the Indiana job. Are you going to go poach Indiana and bring him to Ohio State when he's been on the job for 2 months? Really? It is a cutthroat business, but. So there's the Ohio State situation, basketball-wise. And then Penn State and NC State will play in the ACC Challenge. The game will be at PNC Bank Arena in Raleigh, which is a tip-off that we will be doing our show that day from Raleigh, North Carolina. We can add another state to the list of states that we've done this show in, right? I mean, we've taken it all over the place, haven't we? This will be the first North Carolina appearance for the show. And that'll be the either Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday after Thanksgiving. NC State is down to 10 players at the moment. Some of them very good, though. And lost three seniors, and of course they lost Dennis Smith, a one and done. And that was the problem for Mark Gottfried. Everyone knew Dennis Smith was a one and done, which means a lot of people know that going into NC State, he is an ultra-talented player. Okay. Except here's the problem. They went 15-17 with that ultra-talented player. Mark Gottfried lost his job in the process. Stanley Cup final tonight resumes with the Pens and Nashville. I was reading one interesting little tidbit about one of the Pittsburgh reporters complaining that Nashville piped in noise, which, of course, I could care less. I could care less about that. But this does coincide with a couple of fans I heard. You know, talking about going home and we know how to win cups and things like that. Like, Nashville. I always laugh about that stuff. In other words, you know, it's your team and you don't know the history of your own team. I mean, do you know how close you came to being the Kansas City Penguins? Not that long ago. 10 years. Or how close you came to being the Portland Penguins?
Yeah, they were heading down the steps getting ready to fire up the bus, weren't they?
Oh, sure. They were. I mean, the Kansas City...
It was really, really close.
I mean, the Kansas City thing was as real gets. And, you know, and Amir Lemieux and those guys, they saved the franchise. So don't start getting cocky about your 50-year-old franchise. Your 50-year-old franchise almost became the Carolina Hurricanes. I mean, you're almost like the Whalers. believe me, I'd have felt terrible if the Penguins had left. Terrible. I love watching Penguins hockey. I don't want them to go to Kansas City. I don't want them to go to Portland. I want them to stay in Pittsburgh, which I'm glad they did. And the league's thrilled they did, too, because the ratings are high in part. You know, the Nashville thing's important, but Pittsburgh brings in great ratings whenever a Pittsburgh team is playing. But I always laugh when I hear a couple of people, well, we're the established one. Hey, you know what? You're almost in Kansas City. Please do not. Oh, goodness gracious. But they'll play game five tonight. The Penguins need to get... Now, obviously, you just can't do it to do it. I mean, let's be honest here. You just can't fire pucks on net willy-nilly and just fire pucks on net. You know, but every once in a while, I think you do have to take an overtime mentality at least once every period where you're going to get to that point, I don't know, like the 10-minute mark or whatever, instead of trying to make the perfect pass all the time and get the perfect shot. We're just going to get pucks to the net. So many goals in the NHL because of the great defense and the great goaltending happen on deflections or rebounds. Very rare where you get that shot where it's just a shot and it's in. Malkin had one of those. I think it was in game one on a slap shot, clear and hit off the bottom of Pecorine's glove and went into the net. You know, and every once in a while you get a wide open chance. Like Connor Sheary had a wide open chance and knocked it home early in the series. But so many goals in the NHL are scored on deflections off of rebounds. And that doesn't happen unless you're sending the puck in the direction of the net. You can't always make the perfect pass. It's the point I made about Pecorine in Game 4. He was spectacular in Game 4. He had some stand-on-your-head saves, two sequences that were unbelievable. But then when you really looked at it in a 60-minute game, he faced 23 shots. Not 43, 23.
They got to get 30 tonight. Wouldn't you think? Minimum?
You got 30 to 35 shots on him and just make him work. Make their defense work. Put them on their heels. Make them feel like they're clearing the puck all the time. You have to.
And flipping it back to last Saturday night, when the Pens took that early 1-0 lead, not long after that, into the early part of the second, well, maybe in late first, early second, they had two power plays. And yeah, that's been well documented here in this portion of the playoffs. Just pretty much getting next to nothing in the power plays. Sooner or later, they've just got to get that turned around, too.
Well, again, that's the ability. How many times have they gone through a power play and not gotten a shot? Again, it's about getting shots on net. Okay, you're not going to score. Okay, I can see in a sequence where you're, passing it and trying. It's like facing a zone defense at basketball. You're trying to get the zone to slide in a direction, then clear it and get a shot, right? A really good shot. I'm absolutely understand that, but at some point, you can't go through the whole power play and get no shots. They've had too many power plays with no shots. That's the problem I have with their power play. You've got to get something on net. And that's what, and you have there's no such thing as having too many great scorers out there. I mean, look, you've got Malkin, you've got Crosby, you've got Kessel. It's a pretty good group to have out there getting the job done for you. Gensel. Even their second power play group's really good. So that's what they've got coming up tonight. Game 5. Tied at 2 games apiece. But again, I was laughing at the... It was today. A couple of Penguins fans. Oh, like putting down Nashville as a hockey market. I said, excuse me. I said, and would you still be following the Kansas City Penguins? 10 years ago, you were almost there. Okay, I understand what you mean. Now the Penguins aren't going anywhere. They got a great arena. They've always had a great market. That is a great hockey town. So is Philadelphia. Philadelphia's a great hockey town. They deserve a little bit better than they've been getting the last few years.
Well, when they're playing better, it makes the rivalry with the Penguins even better.
Well, you know what? Yeah, it does. There's no question about that. I agree with that.
I mean, for people here in PA, I mean, people outside of PA won't look at it that way, but...
I mean, no, but, you know... That's why I always laugh about the Michigan-Ohio State. Michigan-Ohio State. I was like, it just slow down, okay? I mean, I know you're trying to, you know... I've never been a... I think Michigan and Ohio State is an awesome rivalry. I got it. Okay? They don't have to tell me it's not an awesome rivalry. It is. I'm glad they play at the end of every single year. But I'll never forget 2005. And this is a salesperson for Learfield who doesn't work in the Penn State group anymore. He works now in the Alabama group for Learfield. And he had just started at Penn State. And Penn State's playing Michigan State that day, and if Penn State wins, Penn State wins the Big Ten championship. And we're standing in the lobby of the Marriott, and he says, oh, yeah, he says, group of us, we're all going down to Ann Arbor to watch Michigan play Ohio State. You know, gee, I mean, with the Big Ten title and the whole thing, I said what the heck are you talking about? So the Big Ten title's being decided here. He says, yeah, but if Penn State loses, then Michigan and Ohio State, one of those two will win. I mean, if I had any power, I'd have fired him on the spot.
You're like, what?
I mean, no, I'm serious. I'm standing there like, I'm thinking to myself, what is going on here? It's first of all, it's 11 a.m., so you could not have been drinking. I was just in complete amazement by this. Complete amazement. And you look at the recent years of the Michigan-Ohio State game. The heck's the last time Michigan won? You know, one thing that I've talked about many times, I talked about this yesterday. Yesterday or the day before, I was talking about, you know, like people have asked me, where do I rank Barkley among the great running backs in the history of Penn State football? You know, I said, look, I just take a group of them and I put them in a group. So Barkley can stand side by side with Kajana Carter. He can stand side by side with Lenny Moore. He can stand side by side with John Cappelletti and Larry Johnson and Curtis Enos and Kurt Warner and DJ Dozier and Blair Thomas. You know, you can go through Evan Royster. You can go through the long list of them. Because they all had different teams they played against, different circumstances, different offensive lines, different whatever. Because I'm a firm believer in what Joe Paterno always told me. What you give to one, you take away from another. And Joe was absolutely right about that. And it's the same thing with this rivalry thing. I mean, it may not be a big deal to us, but if you're living in the state of Washington and Washington's playing Washington State for the Apple Cup, you don't think it's not a big deal in Tacoma? It's a big deal. I mean, Penn State's going to play Pitt this year. It's going to be a big deal to a lot of people in this state when they play it. It'll be a big deal. Nationally, it won't be such a big deal. It's a big deal nationally in that Penn State wins. It just keeps them in the conversation in the national picture. I mean, that part's true. But it would be the same conversation about Penn State playing the second game of the season against another Power 5 school. Say they were playing, I don't know, we were talking about the Big 12 earlier, say they were playing Texas Tech. Same thing. But in Pennsylvania, it's going to be a big deal that Penn State plays Pitt. And there's just been too much where what you give to one takes away from another. It may not be a big deal to us, but Purdue plays Indiana the same day Michigan plays Ohio State. That attitude's always bothered me. Always has. When you give to one, you take away from another. And in order to promote and get more people to watch, that's been the standard MO at some places. Let's just take away as much as we can from everybody else because we want to give it over here. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on the show today. Yeah, the NBA needs to be a more mature league. I think it's the only way they can advance to be what they really want to be, but that's not the direction they want to go in. They don't want to go in that direction. If they want to put 18-year-olds in, look, I was against it, but I've completely changed on that. Look, you don't want to go to college, don't go to college. You want to go to the NBA, go to the NBA. That doesn't mean I have to be thrilled about watching it, but it's your right as a player. If you think that's best and some team wants to draft you, go ahead. But I do think that's one of the greater problems you have with the NBA. And I think it's no coincidence, even without Kevin Durant, the Golden State won the championship 2 years ago because they drafted older players and then they grew into a mature team. Now, Cleveland beat them last year, and they felt they had needed another part. So, yes, they did get Kevin Durant, who was the difference in last night's game when it was all said and done. But the bottom line is, Golden State grew and developed into an older team because they drafted older players.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.